Quindi è arrivato il momento di ascoltare. Io non so se avremo il tempo di ascoltarla tutta subito, l'intervista con Chris Numberch degli Anti-Flag per lo Slam Dunk Festival che si terrà 1, 2, 3 giugno, quindi questo weekend, in quella di Bellaria, Igea Marina, la prima edizione italiana tra l'altro dello Slam Dunk Festival, che normalmente si tiene in Inghilterra. L'intervista io vi ribadisco, insomma, che è stata realizzata, insomma, qualche settimana fa, quindi ovviamente prima anche di quella catastrofe che ha colpito, insomma, l'Emilia Romagna e le Marche, visto che oggi c'era la polemica su Facebook, sì, tutti che ricordano l'Emilia Romagna, le Marche non se le fila nessuno. Quindi noi ci andiamo a sentire la prima parte, oppure tutta, vediamo se, insomma, c'è tempo, se no comunque l'ascoltiamo più tardi, dell'intervista a Chris Numberch.
Here we are with Chris Numberch of Anti-Flag to have a little talk for Radio Città Aperta. So, hi Chris, how is going?
It's going really well, it's going really well. Just we leave to start some shows in the south in America, and then we're in Europe, and we'll see you guys in Italy very soon. So very exciting.
Yeah, because Anti-Flag released a new album at the beginning of this year, 2023, Lies That Tell Our Children, and they will play a Slam Dunk first edition here in Italy.
Yeah, you know, we've been to Rimini before, and you know, whether it's the Bay Fest or you know, we did our own show there last time, so we always know it's very exciting. So I'm excited to see what Slam Dunk looks like in Italy. So should be fun.
Yeah, I remember you guys last year at Bay Fest pool party. It was amazing.
Yeah, yeah, it was a crazy show.
Yeah, it was a blast. So, first of all, Lies They Tell Our Children is your 13th album. So when did the idea of this concept album begin? And what lies are you referring to?
Yeah, so the concept of the album and the title and a lot of the inspiration behind the individual songs, a lot of that was born well before we, you know, started writing music. But we've had a lot of conversations, or at least just like meetings amongst the band, where we talked about what we wanted to do as a band and what we wanted to do with an album. And honestly, you know, like you said, we've made 13 of these. So we've done this a lot. And you never want to repeat yourself. You never want to do something the same way twice. You always want to feel like you're growing as people and as a band and as friends. And so we kind of came up with a story and a concept and all of that first, which is something we've never done before as a band. So it was very exciting for us to feel like we were challenging ourselves to be better. And the title of the album, Lies They Tell Our Children, the title comes from an advertisement. It was a full-page ad that Mobil, the gas company, they took out in the 70s because there were some leaks of some internal documents amongst oil companies where they knew that climate change would be an adverse effect on the planet because of the products that they sold, oil, gas, etc. So they came up with this idea to, instead of spending money developing the science and the technology to understand what their products did to the planet, they'd take all that money and do ad campaigns and confuse the public and create doubt about the idea of climate change and climate sustainability and the climate crisis we find ourselves in today in 2023. So there was a full page advertisement that Mobil took out, it was titled Lies They Tell Our Children. And it was basically saying that everyone who says that climate change is a real thing, that they're lying to the public. And we now know, you know, 30, 40 years later, that that that's not the case, and that, that these companies were lying to us. And so I found it to be a really, like, almost inspirational or maybe like a challenge to ourselves to know how short of time that it's been since this stuff has been happening. And so that became the main thread and the main story of the album, is to say, like, look, you think that climate change is this huge problem that is bigger than you and I. And on the surface level, it is. But when you know that these companies have only been running this way for 40, for 50 years, I mean, we know people in our lives who are older than this. And so if we can change ourselves, we can change their policies. And so that became the crux of the album, understanding police violence in America, understanding the climate crisis that we face, understanding why war companies and healthcare companies and tech companies have such a stranglehold on our global political systems. And when you learn that, you know, that shit's only been happening for the last 20, 30, 40, 50 years, it makes you have a greater understanding of how we can change and challenge and lead a life that's different than the one we lead today, which is ultimately the goal of punk rock. You know, like for me, I've always seen punk rock as a valve to alleviate suffering. When we see a problem, when we see people that are hurting, we'll use this art, we'll use this music to bring people together, to educate each other, and then go out into the world and try to change the world ourselves. And so, you know, that's just an extension of the idealism of Anti-Flag as a band, but also our punk rock scene and community as a whole.
Okay. Thank you, because this was one of my questions for you.
Yeah.
What is punk rock for you? So,
yeah.
You responded. I think in the album cover too, there are some clues about it, about this question, this topic.
Yeah, and that was too, like we wanted to do it so that the record story and the concept was throughout everything. So when you look at the album art, you see the individual songs are represented. Like, we had all of that ideal before we hit record, which is usually you're doing it backwards. Like, you write music, you write the song, and then you try to create a story around all of the songs. And we did it the opposite way, which was we came up with the story first. We had the artwork, we had the title, we had everything. And then we wrote music to that story, which, again, you know, anytime any of us in our lives, not just bands that have been together for 30 years, but you as a journalist, any of us, anytime we can do something new, it's exciting. It feels like we are still growing as people, and that's what we always want to be doing.
Perfect. The first single from this album is Love Cries, Smile, Die, that reminds me of a song from CCCP. I don't know if you know the Italian band. The title of the song, of their song, is Morire, and there is this sentence, you know, produce, consume, die. Produci, consume, epa. Yeah, it's something like this. But this song of yours is featured by Shane Told of Silver Sign. In the video, we can see Anti-Flag playing in front of a huge upside down USA flag. Yeah. What is the meaning, especially in this song, and that you want to talk about? And what's the meaning of the name Anti-Flag?
Yeah. So Laugh, Cry, Smile, Die, I think, is a great example of what the album is trying to do. It was ultimately the first song that we finished completely when we were writing the album. And it's essentially talking about that climate change issue. It talks about the internal memo leaks within the companies and the oil companies and their science departments. But mostly it talks about, when we're faced with this stuff, and this is where the title of the song comes in, often it's presented in such a way where the lie is so big that you and I, as people of empathy, people of intelligence, we laugh at it because we're like, no one's going to believe this. And then you find out, oh, fuck, people do. And they've been fooled. And so that makes us sad. So that goes from laugh to cry. And then you get energy in terms of the camaraderie and challenging it. And then maybe the thing doesn't change within your lifetime. So you go from smiling to dying relatively quickly. So it's just kind of talking about that process of activism of often the thing that we're fighting is so absurd to us that you don't have much to do other than, it is almost laughable. Having Shane on the record, we love Silverstein. When we wrote that bridge of the song, it kind of sounded like a Silverstein song to us. So we thought, well, why hide it? Why be afraid of our influence from our friends? Let's just call them up to sing on it. So that's how Shane got involved. And then ultimately the band's name, Anti-Flag, and why we play in front of a giant upside-down American flag most of the time, is the band is an anti-war symbol. That's what we started as. We grew up in a small town in Pennsylvania called Pittsburgh, and a lot of our friends, ourselves included, everyone we knew grew up very poor. And when you're poor in America and you don't do very well in school, they offer one solution to you, and that's to join the military. And we saw too many of our friends sign up to fight and kill and die in wars in Iraq and Afghanistan and et cetera, et cetera. And so for us, we wanted to make sure that people knew where we stood in terms of the politics and the policies of the American government, especially the thirst and the hunger and the amount of money that is made and spent on war and in perpetual war. So that is the main political scope or tilt of the band, is that we're an anti-war band.
So I'm indecided between two questions. This song is featured by Shane Told, but in the album there are a lot of guests, 8 actually. Yeah. So how did you choose them?
Yeah. Well, kind of the same way we chose Shane. We just tried to reach out to people that were either big influences on us as individuals or big influences on the song. You have The Fight of Our Lives has Tim from Rise Against and Brian Baker. That song sounds like Bad Religion and Rise Against and Anti-Flag all had a baby together. And so it only made sense to reach out to those guys. Then there were some new people that maybe weren't influencing us in the way that we write, but are influencing us in just our communication and understanding of what's happening in the world. So like Ashrita and Pink Shift, who are a new band that we love very much, or Trey Burt, who's a folk singer. All of it came down to who was inspiring to us, whether directly with the music or indirectly through just how we see the world in 2023.
So protest music goes hand in hand with the political and social situation of every country. But when it was born, of course, and it doesn't matter, I think, the music genre. But I think, like you said before, punk rock has a special attitude for submitting a lot of issues to people's attention.
Yeah, I mean, that's like I believe that's what separates punk rock from the rest of the musical genres in the world, is that is our prerequisite. Are you nice? Are you kind? Are you empathetic? Do you give a fuck about more than just yourself? Yeah. If so, the music you make is punk rock. I don't care if it's with an acoustic guitar. I don't care if it's with a flute. I don't care if it's with electric guitars and people screaming, you know?
Yeah. So, who writes anti-flex lyrics? Because all of your lyrics deal with strong issues, and you are committed in prominent topics such as war, imperialism, climate change, racism, capitalism, animal rights. So it is more like a choral voice, like a statement that you guys carry on during the years. So I'm curious, who writes anti-flag lyrics?
Well, it changes all the time. Usually, Justin or myself will write the majority of a song on our own. And then we'll bring it to the band, and especially when it's time to write an album or we're talking about making an album or rehearsing for writing, we'll have some type of catalog of ideas and we'll bring them and share them. But with this album, which was really fun and truthfully quite liberating, was we wrote, I would say, a good 95% of the lyrics of this album together, just the four of us in the room, where we recorded some music and we would play it back and we would just kind of talk it through. We had a big board with a list of the topics and the ideas that we wanted to get into the album. And then it just became, you know, some research and some, you know, searching for those inspirational things, whether it's like looking back in history at other times people in protest movements or activist movements have tried to fight back against similar problems, or if it was looking towards the future and what people are doing to prepare themselves for what's coming. So, you know, obviously, you know, for all four of us to believe in a song, it is best for all four of us to have some sort of connection deeper than just the performing of the music. So that's why it's important for us to try to write our lyrics together, so that all four of us believe in the song and can convey the song in an honest and authentic way.
Yeah, sure. So you are playing here in Italy for the first Italian edition of Slam Dunk Festival on the second day, along with Rancid, Frank Turner, Bowling for Soup, and others. Where do you feel that your music is more understood?
Well, that's an interesting question. I mean, I think that, you know, we're in a fortunate position where our music is mutually understood everywhere. And, you know, we have a lot of people within Italy that I believe to be some of, like, the truest and the kindest and the most connected to what we create, the same way we do here in our hometown of Pittsburgh, the same way we do in Germany. There are places where the band is, quote-unquote, cooler, and more people come to see us. You know, in Germany, we're quite popular, and it's great. But at the core of the audience, and especially like the question, you know, being who gets it, who understands what we're trying to do, we're so unbelievably humbled and grateful to know that there are people all over the world who understand what we're trying to do and who get it and who believe in it. And, you know, that might ebb and flow, and it might come and flirt with the pop culture of what's popular in music, whether or not punk rock is cool and you've got bands like Green Day in the mainstream, or whether or not punk rock is not cool and everybody wants to listen to electronic music. We don't really care. We just keep our head down and keep doing what we love. And, you know, like I said, we're grateful that we have this opportunity to interact with so many people who truly understand the idealism of punk rock and truly believe in leaving the world better than they found it. And so, you know, whether that's, you know, there's going to be people in Rimini at Slam Dunk who feel that way. Now, there will be some people who are there just because it's a cool concert and they get to go to the beach and, you know, drink some beers with their friends. And that's fine. It's not up to me to tell people what to do or what not to do or how to have a nice time. But when we do meet those people who do understand that there is an intention to anti-flag, that we're trying, that's more than just music, that's more than just entertainment, more than just mosh pits and circle pits or whatever, that to me is very refreshing and inspirational, and it gives us the energy to keep going.
So Slam Dunk is also a record label, so what do you think about the role of independent record label nowadays?
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously the internet is a great equalizer, and it allows people to have opportunities to have their songs heard and their bands seen and the art that they create shared and consumed by lots of people from all over the world. There is no replacement, though, for our human-to-human connection. And so that's where I believe the importance of record labels to be in 2023. It's not to promote. It's not to be posting on Instagram or Facebook every 2 minutes. I don't give a shit about any of that. What I'm interested in is when you have a record label in a territory like Italy, and we're kids from Pennsylvania, I want to go and meet the people that talk to the record stores, that go and they share. Like, that is the exciting part about record labels, is having humans say, this is of value and you should care about this. Please, it's not just something made for you to click on it on your phone or for you to scroll right by it. Like, people pour their heart and their soul and their energy into creating this art. And anytime you have an actual person doing real work to share it and to champion it, that's a great thing. But, you know, there's good people that work at major labels. There's good people that work at indie labels. You know, I don't really care. That's not of interest to me. What's of interest to me is just finding passion and sharing in that passion.
Thank you. So, speaking of festivals, what is Antifest? Because this fall you will play in many countries between US and Canada. And you also announced Antifest in several cities.
Yeah. So what we found was when we were first really kind of traveling through Europe and like doing more and more headlining, this would have been like 2005 or 6. You know, we came from a scene that would have these big shows all the time with 10 bands, 15 bands, and you just put them on at the fire hall or you put them on in a basement or any place that would let you, give you some keys to the building, and you could put up a PA and have a show. So when we started touring Europe, we noticed that the shows were just like two bands or three bands is a big show. And so when we were like, well, we want to do it with six, somebody said, well, that's a festival. And I said, oh, I don't care what you fucking call it. Call it a festival. And so we called it Antifest. And then, you know, we had some success with that in the sense of it was exciting to people and it was new to people and it was a different way to experience our show and the culture around Anti-Flag. So we just kept it going. And now, 15 years later, Antifest is global, and we're only doing one this year in Pittsburgh. But last year we did, I want to say 10 of them through the U.S., which is really cool. And you know, they're smaller events, but it allows us the ability to play with A, different sounding bands that we love, but B, just like a mass array of bands. You know, you're not the same three bands on stage every night, the same two bands on stage every night. We had a different lineup for each of the Anti-Fests, and that was really cool and exciting to us.
So, two more questions also, because
yeah,
I don't want to bother you other times.
No, it's all good, it's all good.
Sorry. What was Pitwork punk hardcore scene during that years, now is nowadays? So has it changed through the years?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think like every scene, it changes. You know, the cool thing about the Pittsburgh scene is that it's always been politically active. It's always had an affinity towards punk rock, and especially political punk rock. You had bands like Anti-Flag and Os Rotten and the Bad Genes, but then you even had the bands that got famous, like Rusted Root. They were very famous for a while. They have that song "Send Me on My Way," which is like in movies and all kinds of stuff. But they were political and an anti-war band, and it had a lot to do with the economics of Pittsburgh. We had a major steel industry leave in the 70s, and it really decimated our community and left a lot of people poor and hungry and searching for a better life. And anytime you have people put into dire straits, you see that they're more cognizant of the political landscape and how to change that suffering that they're facing. And then the other big thing, you know, my mom was born in Italy, actually, and she came to the United States when she was 13, and she was the youngest and the last one to come. But being from an immigrant community in a political town like Pittsburgh, in a very poor town like Pittsburgh, that changes who you are. And so I think that, you know, you have a lot of that music still here in the scene. We have one of the longest running DIY venues in the United States. It's called the Mr. Roboto Project. It's an awesome punk rock DIY venue. I think the only one in America that's been around longer is 924 Gilman Street in Berkeley, California, where Green Day played and Operation Ivy and all of those West Coast bands came from. So it's cool that we've got this hub here in Pittsburgh, you know, that rivals like the ABC No Rio of New York City or the Berkeley's Gilman Street. So definitely a great lineage of music and history of activism through that music in Pittsburgh, for sure.
Thank you very much, Chris Barker, for this interview and for your time. And we are going to see you with Anti-Flag in Rimini this summer.
Yeah, we can't wait. We can't wait. We love Italy so much. So we're excited to be back this summer, and the show is going to be great. So hopefully we'll see you there.
E questa era l'intervista quindi con Chris Barker, Chris Number Two, bassista degli Anti-Flag, che ringraziamo ancora tanto anche per il suo tempo, anche perché, come avete notato, mi sono dilungata parecchio in questa intervista, che è stata registrata appunto qualche settimana fa, e insomma prima dell'alluvione dell'Emilia Romagna. Però comunque adesso mi confermano che sono mi dicono che sono confermati sia i mezzi pubblici per arrivare, insomma, a Rimini, a Bellaria, per lo Slam Dunk Festival, sia i parcheggi. Sono esauriti i biglietti per il giorno singolo che vede gli Offspring, quindi il 3 di giugno, ma sono ancora disponibili gli abbonamenti per tutti e tre i giorni, che ricordiamo sono l'1, 2 e il 3 il giugno, con headliner Sum 41 il giorno 1, Rancid il giorno 2 e gli Offspring il giorno 3, e poi ovviamente tutta la lineup completa la potete trovare sui social, sul sito dello Slam Dunk Festival, la prima edizione, ricordo, qui in Italia, così anche con come poi i vincitori dello Slam Dunk Festival, la prima edizione, cioè del contest, scusate, mi sono confusa. Adesso ci andiamo a sentire quindi al volo il nuovo singolo degli Anti-Flag featuring Shane Told, così come detto nell'intervista, Love Cry Smile Die, e subito dopo ci sentiamo con i Demikov qua su Radio Città Aperta, Punk on the Rocks.
Can you hear me calling? I got this idea that I'm selling for nothing. Whoa, whoa. Can anybody hear me? Whoa, whoa. Does anybody care? Can you hear me? Sing along. Is anybody there?